2 weeks in a row. Don't get used to it, okay? I do enjoy coming here to be fed, but I have to admit, I do enjoy preaching. So, several years ago, I did microscope repair work prior to becoming an Awana missionary. I spent 20 years in the military, and then after I got out of the military, I was at Bible college, and you just can't live going to Bible college with no income, you know. So I started working at this place doing medical equipment repair, and once a year I had to suffer and go to Bermuda for 10 days to repair the microscopes on the island of Bermuda. Yeah, it was a tough life, but somebody had to do it. Well, one day I was there, and we'd finished the work that needed to be done that day, so my friend and I decided we were going to go snorkeling. Well, I tried the snorkel mask on. You know, I tried the mask on, got the snorkel all set. I thought everything was okay, and I got in the water, and there was a little bit of a leak of water in, but I said, I'll just deal with it. I'll clear my mask every now and then, and it won't hurt anything. Well, I hadn't cleared my mask often enough, and my friend came up and tweaked my toe. Well, when you're in the ocean and somebody tweaks your toe, you don't know what's tweaking your toe. So I inhaled it, but instead of inhaling through the snorkel, I inhaled through my nose. And a whole mess of water goes in, and I'm like, well, he just swam away. We weren't doing buddy swim, which was totally wrong, by the way. If you go snorkeling in twos, and stay together. Well, he didn't realize I had just been put into a position of danger, and I actually almost drowned that day. I can tell you the whole testimony of it later, but I do remember this while I was out there in the middle of the ocean trying to get back to shore or out to the reef that I was initially swimming to, which I shouldn't have been swimming to in the first place. I remember praying and saying, God, I would really love to be with you right now, but this is Mother's Day. And then I said, and besides that, there are so many more people I would love to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. But not my will, but yours. If you want me to continue to minister for you, then let me live to get to shore so I can proclaim your word. And I don't know. The message today is the heart of an evangelist. And in fact, Paul had that same heart. He says in Philippians chapter 1, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I thank you for the privilege you give me of sharing your word. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak through me. Help me to share what you would have me to share. Help me to step out of the way. Lord, I pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. Last week's message was about foster care. It kind of followed right along with Steve's week one of the right understanding, and then week two of the right people, and then week three, the right reason. Week four was the right response. Last week was the right name. I read an article written by a child in foster care, and she said, if you're adopted, you're in that home for good. It's supposed to be similar to living in a biological family. You're part of the family. And then we talked about that, the foster care problem that we have in our churches today, where people think that they're saved. They come to church every week. They believe that they're saved, but they've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, all they are members of a church. So we talked about that, and I gave that as kind of an analogy of the foster care program in the church today. They believe they're children of God, many of them, frankly, because they've been told that they're children of God. Well, today, I want to go further. But before I do, I want to remind you of the last thing, or one of the last things I closed with last week. God never intended for the church to be a foster care facility. He never intended it for anyone but His children. I was on my way to church this morning and I was listening to a pastor give a message. And in the message he said, you need to get the people to church because they need to get saved. No, you need to go out and share the gospel with them so that they can get saved and then bring them to church so they can grow. That is what God intended for us. Now, we're not all evangelists. I'm going to be the first to admit that. But let's talk about this whole idea of evangelism. First off, an evangelist obviously shares the gospel. And what is gospel? One of the first things I teach children and youth when I'm talking about the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Very simply, good news. The word gospel is used over 100 times in the New Testament. However, the word evangelist is only used 3 times. And by the way, the word missionary is never used. Makes me wonder. Anyway, an evangelist. What is an evangelist? He's a messenger of good tidings. Someone who shares the good news of salvation to the lost. Okay? So, now, an evangelist shares the gospel. But what is the gospel, the good news that an evangelist needs to share? Cheryl, my bag is right down there at your feet. I need that. Okay? I decided I was going to do, I brought this with me today because it helps me to remember and do things in the right order. When I share the gospel, and understand I'm a children's missionary, so most of the time when I'm sharing the gospel with children. I love to share the gospel with anyone. As a matter of fact, my boss thinks it's rather humorous to go traveling with me, whether it's to airports or restaurants or wherever. He says it's always fun to see how Tim is going to lead into the gospel and get it shared. And I love it. I love to share the gospel. I was at the Macaroni Grill one time, and they've got those paper, the paper on the tables. And I saw this child come in, and he's wearing his Awana uniform. And so here we are, a whole mess of Awana missionaries all at this Macaroni Grill. And so we see this one child. Well, that poor kid, he got surrounded by missionaries. But I started talking to him and I said, well, what Bible verse did you learn today? And he told me what Bible verse it was. And it was Romans 3:23, but I'm not positive. It could have been 6:23. Anyway, so we were talking about that. And so I started going through a gospel presentation with this child. And all the other missionaries are like, whoa, what is he doing? I've got to tell you, not every missionary is an evangelist. And not every evangelist is a missionary the way you look at me as being a missionary. But I consider a missionary anyone who goes out and shares the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who tells someone else about Jesus Christ, I consider them to be a missionary. But we need to get the gospel out there. We need to share the gospel. When I'm sharing the gospel, I start with creation. Matter of fact, I like to start with God because I figure until you believe that there is a God, you can't believe in salvation. Because who's going to save you? Yourself? So I'll show you how I do this with the children, and I won't make you go through all the antics that I do with the kids, but they do all the thing, and now we'll leave that alone for today. But I'll just go through with you and share with you how I share the gospel with children so that you can understand the gospel that I share. First off, we talk about sin, but prior to that, we talk about when God created the world. He created it perfect. He said, it is good. Good in God's eyes must be absolutely perfect. He created the world. He created man. He created Adam in His own image, therefore sinless. Because obviously, if God could have no sin in him, then man, when he was created in the image of God, had no sin. But God put him in the Garden of Eden. Said, Adam, here is your restriction. You can eat all the fruit, nuts, and berries you want, but don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if you eat from that tree, you're going to die. Well, Adam ate from that tree and brought sin and death into God's perfect world. All have sinned. Romans 3:23, a very important verse that everyone has to understand. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God cannot let sin in His heaven. God hates sin. But sin was in the world. So God had to make a way for man to become able to be with God again. Imagine being able to walk with God in the Garden of Eden. Imagine the grief Adam felt after he had sinned and realized he was no longer going to be able to be in the presence of God, to be able to walk in the garden with God. Man, I tell you, when I think about that, it's just that hurts to think about. But anyway, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I like to make sure that we cover the fact that all have sinned. Oh, by the way, the wages of sin is death. God said that to Adam. He said, if you eat from this tree, you're going to die. In other words, if you disobey me and sin, you're going to die. And in Romans, he makes it very clear, the wages or the payment for your sin is death. We can't get around that. So, because of sin, we have all earned death. But, it continues Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is an area that I believe many people have made too simple. Satan believes in Jesus Christ. It's not just a matter of believing that He exists. It's a matter of believing that as a sinner, He died for you. He was buried and He rose again the third day. But you'd have to believe that you couldn't get there on your own. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. Jesus Christ paid it all. He died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to receive Him as our Savior. We have to acknowledge Him as the Lord and Savior in order to really believe. We have to believe who He is and what He did on a personal issue. Salvation is a very personal issue. He doesn't save a congregation. He saves an individual. The congregation might be saved, but the individual is the one that He saves. One at a time. People ask me, how do you share the gospel? And I just tell them, one person at a time. It's the best way to go. God doesn't want us to be separated from Him, so He sent Jesus Christ down to earth. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And when we finally do receive Jesus as our Savior, all of our sins can be completely washed away, removed from us forever. Now, does that mean that we no longer have to confess our sins? No. 1 John 1:9 dealt with that. The book of 1 John was written to Christians. And it says, if we confess our sins, obviously, they had sin in their lives, even though they were saved. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to repent of our sins. And by the way, repenting is not what your kids do. I'm sorry I stole that cookie. I'll never do it again. And you know they're going to. They just want to get away from getting a spanking. That's not the way we should do it. Repenting means making a 180-degree turn away from the lifestyle that you're living and going a different way. I am sorry, God, and having a heartfelt sorrow for causing God grief and anguish. We need to repent of our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do believe, then one day we can go to heaven where the street is made of gold. I when I'm talking to the kids, I talk to them. Revelation 21:21 in the King James says that the street of heaven is pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. I just think that's awesome. You know, I go through with them. I say, now, where is heaven? It's way up there. Imagine you're way up there in heaven and you're standing on the side of the street of heaven and you look down. What do you suppose the first word out of your mouth is going to be? Whoa! We might be able to see stars under our feet. And I tell them, I don't know for certain. But it does say that the street of heaven is pure, transparent gold. I want everyone to know how they can get to heaven. But you know, that's where a lot of people and that's where a lot of churches stop. They stop with getting them saved and talking about that salvation issue. And then there a good number of them will take it to the next step and they'll actually go to the baptism. They'll talk about baptism and tell them that they need to get saved and get baptized, of course. And then what do? They teach them how to do the one thing that irritates me most, or one of the things that irritates me most. I have a lot of things that irritate me. But one of the things that irritates me most is, okay, you're saved. Now, what do? Sit and listen. We're teaching people how to sit and listen instead of teaching them how to go out and be a Christian. We're not teaching them how to serve. We're teaching them how to be sponges. We need to stop teaching how to be sponges and start teaching how to be workers. We need to teach people how to serve God. We do need to talk about baptism. We need to get them baptized, but we also need to teach them about growing in Christ. And growing in Christ is doing exactly what God wants us to do. And God doesn't want us to sit and soak. God wants us to share His Word. God wants us to tell others. As a matter of fact, God desires for us to be willing to share our faith. But on some of us, He's laid a specific desire of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are called to be evangelists. Some people are given a desire. But why does He want us to go out and share the gospel? Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." God wants me to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it, not me. I have no power to get someone saved. It's not my job to get them saved. It's my job to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to get them saved. I don't do the convicting. I don't do the convincing. I do the sharing. And then the Holy Spirit does the work. I don't need to meddle in God's work there, because if I do, I'm going to cause some problems. Ephesians 4:12. Why the gospel? Okay. Well, it says in 4:11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So why do I share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? For the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying of the body. That's why I have to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make sure the gospel gets out, those of us who have a call for evangelism especially. But why preach the gospel? 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Many of you need to be, or all of you who are saved, need to be ready to give an answer for the faith that is in you. Some of us have a need to share the gospel with everybody. I mean, we just have this need in us to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to as many people as we possibly can. Sharing the gospel is not a matter of willingness, although I'm willing. For an evangelist, sharing the gospel is not a matter of willingness, although I'm willing. It's not a matter of desire, although it is my desire. It is, in fact, a matter of necessity. I need to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a need that God put in me when He gave me the gift of evangelism. He put a need in me that said, you need to go out and share that gospel for Him and for me. I love to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you feel that need, if you feel that need to share the gospel, then you probably have the gift of evangelism, whether you know it or not. And if you do, please talk to Steve, talk to Mike, talk to me. You know, let us know that you have this need to share. Because a lot of times, with that need, always I would say, there's a need for training as well. People need to be taught how to do things properly. And so we would love to help you. I would love to help you. But I need to share the gospel. I need to share it because there are many who need to hear it. And I need to share it because within me there's a need to proclaim the gospel. And by the way, the gospel must be the correct gospel. In the book of Galatians, we need to make sure we don't pervert the gospel. Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You think he was trying to make a point? Two verses back to back. Don't distort the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful of the gospel that we share to make sure that we're being accurate in what we say and what we do, how we present the gospel. Now, is that all there is to sharing the gospel? When I got saved, I walked the aisle, I prayed the sinner's prayer, a gentleman came up to me, took my hand, congratulations, son, you're saved and gone to heaven. He pulled me up, and I said, what do I do now? He said, don't worry about it, son, you're going to heaven. No, that's not all there is. We need to continue. There needs to be discipleship. I want to see spiritual growth. Beyond evangelism, there must be discipleship. One of the biggest concerns that I have is when I hear about someone who's going into an area and doing a crusade or holding evangelistic meetings, but not sticking around to train up those who receive Christ as Savior, or at least getting them involved in a local church. Just going out there and sharing the gospel and then walking away, what have you done? I personally think you've caused a lot of problems. Another problem I see is when a local church calls on an evangelist to hold revival services. What a contradiction in terms that is. And then the pastor encourages the people to bring in all their unsaved friends. Well, if it's a revival, then what you want is to rekindle a fire, not save people. An evangelist is by nature one who gets the fire started through the sharing of the gospel. I see some problems we have in our local church that really need to be addressed at the local church level. I also have a problem with evangelists who are in for their own glory. They just want another name added to the list of people they saved. These and the pastors who continue the invitation until somebody finally comes forward are the major cause of false professions of faith. that result in the foster children we talked about last week. Those who believe and are saved because they're told they believe, not because they are truly saved. These pastors believe they have failed unless someone walks the aisle. It's not a failure if the gospel has truly been shared. It is not a failure. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it." So these pastors and evangelists who are trying to get people to respond just need to back off and say, "Hey, I've given you the gospel." And stop trying to force people to make their own decision. It's through the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's where we need to go. So why do we need evangelists? Romans 10:13-15. "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." Why do we need an evangelist? Why do we need evangelists? For the same reason we need pastors. Only the evangelist shares the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one can be saved. And a pastor is more one who trains them up in how to grow in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. I thank You for Your Word because I know that Your Word is true. Father, I thank You for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for the good news that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Father, I ask You, please, help us all to examine ourselves to find out whether we are truly saved. Help us to understand, to love You more, and to always be ready to share our faith. Lord, I pray this in Your precious Son's name. Amen.